Okay, this is part two of God is moving, and now we have to move with him. So as we're beginning to understand that as we move towards this year in 2023, this is going to be a year where we're not going to be able to move like we've been moving in the past. And so we're going to keep hearing this word ekklesia, so I'm going to try to explain to you again what it means. I found a definition that kind of makes it clear. It's a little long, but it's clearer. It's the entire congregation of all those who are called to Christ, who are called out to represent him and his ways. So it's all of us, church-wide, all over the world, and we're called out to represent him in all of his ways as the anointed children of God. And so he's empowered us for such a time as this. And so you're going to hear a lot of prophets, a lot of pastors, they're going to be using this word. And why would that be? Why would God be bringing this word up that none of us understood when he started saying it, because it's from the Greek? But it is important for us to acquaint ourselves because of what God is trying to reproduce. And so he's trying to get us to focus on the need for the ecclesia, the church, to come together and to represent him, God, properly. And so we have to align ourselves for the greater things if we're going to bring the greater things of him to other people. And so we know that we have to have the word in us. Say, I have to have the word in me. Yes. And then we have to be moved by the Spirit. And so this is why this coming year we're going to have classes for learning about the nine gifts of the Spirit. We're going to have activations to show us how to relate to God, because we can say a lot of words, but if we don't have any actions that go with the words, then it's not going to make the impact that is needed. And so, you know, Jesus told us in Mark 12, 30 and 31, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. That means we got to engage. We have to engage with him completely, entirely, with our feelings, with our mind, with our irrational soul. We have to align with him. And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself. So if I had to say, this is what is on God's heart, let's go back to Mark 12, 30, 31, because this is what is on his mind. He is calling us as the body of Christ to love him entirely and then to love our neighbor entirely also, because that's what's going to make the difference. Love. Love is the calling card to God. And so loving God more than anything or anyone else with radical fierceness, with every fiber of your being, and then loving yourself and others equally. So I don't know how to say it except for those who have never had a child, you can't imagine how you feel when you hold them in your arms. But when you hold them in your arms, you would give your life for them immediately. There is just something. You didn't even know that kind of love existed until you have a baby. And then you just... It's supernatural, because this child was formed on the inside of you and it comes out of you and it is a part of you. That's how God feels about you. That is how he made you. You're carrying that DNA on the inside, whether you've had a child or not. God birthed you to birth others. And so they can be spiritual children as well. So I'm going to try to break this into 3 points so that you can remember them. And there are 3 R's, and that is just like so against who I usually am. But I fought to make this clear for you. So I just want you to know. Okay, so in order for us to know how we can apply this to our life, how do we actually go forward and give everything to God? What does it look like in the natural? How can we actually apply it to our life this year? We've got to look at Jesus, because Jesus was our perfect example. And so the first R is reaching. Reaching means to draw near to someone else, to draw near. And so Jesus was always reaching toward his Father so that he can continue to have oneness with him and complete his will. And so he was reaching. Do you remember when his parents forgot him or lost him and he was still back in Jerusalem and they had traveled 3 days and all of a sudden they're looking for Jesus and they can't find him? And so they went back and turned around, and where did they find Jesus? In the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers. And it says in Luke 2:46, he was both listening to them and asking them questions. Jesus. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Now, Jesus was 12 at this time. Now, he's listening, and he's listening to find the value in what the rabbis are saying from the written word of his father. But he's also being who he is, the Son of God, and he has some answers for them too. And he is not being rude to his parents, because he is intentionally reaching for the one that he knows he has to spend his time with so that he can do what he's called to do. He is reaching for the Father and his heart, and he is recognizing what has to happen. And so when his parents find him, oh, and he's 12, which means this, he's ready to be bar mitzvahed. And so in the Jewish, in their ceremonies, when you're 12 and you're a boy, you get bar mitzvahs, and that means that you are now an adult and you have to make your own decisions. So Jesus is like, I am still under the law and I am going to make a decision. And this is my decision. I'm going to follow my father. I'm going to follow my father, and I'm going to represent him well. And so I'm going to learn everything, and I am going to also give everything. And so he was reaching consistently near his father. And so when his parents found him, they go, well, they were astonished. They're like, what? And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. You know, we would say, are you crazy? Where you been? You wouldn't even know. You know, that's today's language. And so they didn't understand why he wasn't following behind them closely. Because they had to be reminded that he was reaching consistently after his father so that he could help them and everybody else. And so he said, how is it that you had to look for me? Did you not see and know that it is necessary as a duty for me to be in my father's house and occupied about my father's business? Occupied about my father's business. Jesus is telling us, showing us. He's already modeling it. As soon as he became of age, he is saying in the word of God, by his actions, church, you are the continuation of me. You have got to be about your father's business. You've got to reach for him. You've got to stay one with him. You've got to be in the church body. You've got to learn, and you've got to give. You got it? And so we've got to be about our father's business. But it says in verse 50, they did not comprehend what he was saying to them. And so they are still trying to see him as their child and trying to see him as a young boy. But I think that's many times we're searching for Jesus and we're trying to draw near to him, but we're not finding him because somewhere along the way, by tradition, we have walked in front of him instead of behind him. Get that? And so when we figure that out, we have to retrace our steps. We have to go back and find out, where did we leave Jesus being our lead? Where did we forget about he's the one that's in charge? And so we have to retrace our steps, because he is drawing near to the Father so that we can draw near to the Father. And when we reach towards anything else other than the perfect will of the Father, we can come out of step with where we need to be and what we need to be doing. So when we look at his life, we are purposefully seeing what he did in order to stay in step with the Father's will and to model it for us. Okay, so when he was reaching for his Father, he reached for him in the temple, and then he also reached for him in solitude and prayer. I think a lot of Christians today call themselves Christians because they come to church not even every Sunday, just once in a while. Can't even say every Sunday. And they say, okay, I'm a follower of Christ, but where is he? And so we have to reach for him like Jesus did. Again, he's modeling for us what has to come. And so Luke 6:12 says, in many places, other times he went. But it says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus. We think of him as the Son of God who's always connected to God. And why would he have to? Because he had to. If he did not go after his Father and keep coming, I don't know what they talked about. When I get to heaven, I have so many questions. It's a good thing we're going to be there forever. Because I want to know these conversations. I want to know, what in the world were you talking to your Father about all night long? What was he saying at this point in Luke 6:22 that he's referring to? What was that conversation about? Were you complaining about your disciples, or what was going on? I mean, like, it could have been so many things. Or maybe he was just saying, Father, I need you to love me right now. Because I can't do this without you loving through me, and I'm emptying out. Have you ever given so much you feel empty? Jesus couldn't let that happen. And so if it took all night to be with his Father, to know what his will was, it took him all night, and he was willing to do it. What is he saying to the church? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go to the temple, to the church, to the place of assembly, to continue to learn? Are you willing to separate yourself when you need to separate yourself to hear exactly what the Father is saying so that you can do it? So he was consistent in his reach. We have to continue to follow Jesus' example. And so in John 5:20, it says, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. Maybe that's what was happening. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now Jesus is connected because of love. And he said, I can't even do anything of myself, but what I see the Father do, that's what I'm going to do in like manner. So now the Father is telling him, this is what you're going to do. These are the greater works you're going to model. And you're building my kingdom. You're going to build my kingdom. It's going to go into people, and people are going to continue this work. And so Jesus was listening to his Father as he moved among the people, and he taught his disciples. He lived a busy life. Yet Jesus, as our example, reached for the Father alone on purpose. And even after he taught the multitudes and he multiplied the bread and fed them all, the people went home. It says in John 7:53, every man went into his own house. They're like, they heard the word, that's good, and now they ate, and now they're going to go home to take their Sunday nap. Well, Saturday then. Their nap. And so Jesus, it says in John 8:1, the continuation of that story, but Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. Now, reaching for God is not a once in a while pursuit. It is a continuous progression of a journey, a pursuit after him. Do you know why? We can never know all of it. And we need to know him in a greater way. And so he had to maintain his focus. Jesus had just done everything that the in the natural that the people needed. He met their needs by preaching to them, by giving out what he had on the inside, and then by feeding them naturally. But he had to maintain his focus. And I found it interesting that he went to the Mount of Olives, because do you know what is at the bottom of the Mount of Olives? The Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was meeting with his Father on the mountain, he was looking at the very place that he was going to have to die to self in order to go to the cross. And so he would, I believe, the gospel according to Pastor Don, I believe he was looking for the strength to do it. I believe that he was there going, I know what's going to happen here. And I know that in and of myself, you know that Jesus could have not chosen to go to that cross. He had, in Gethsemane, he said, if there's any other way, Father, let's do it that way, because this is going to be very painful. I mean, can you imagine? And as I wrote this, I was weeping because I was thinking, and I didn't know it was going to be the song today, but I was thinking about all of the things that he knew. They were like crucifixions were happening around him. He knew exactly the price that was going to be paid physically, but he did not know how horrible that it was going to be when our sins were actually put on his back and he felt the separation from his Father for the very first time. And so he was at the mountain where he could look down upon that garden, where he would have to make that decision to die to everything that his body didn't want to do, everything his soul didn't want to do. He was made up like man. He had to go to that place knowing that this was going to be challenging. And he could have called 10,000s of angels and they would have rescued him. He could have not gone to the cross. But he chose it for us. And how could he do it? Because he had reached into his Father's heart and grabbed a hold of his will until it became his will too. They were one. That's why he could pray, John 17. Father, make them one as we are one. And so, was he really one all along, or was that oneness a continual progressive journey while he was a man? And I say it was a continuous progressive journey, because he was a man like as we are, yet without sin. He chose it and he did it and he modeled it for us. So reaching for the Father will enable you to escalate beyond yourself and to become the person God can partner with for the supernatural. How many of you know it was supernatural for him to be able to go to the cross? Seriously. Amen. So, but we can do things that we never imagined that we can do for the sake of the Father and for his will in this earth, if we are willing to spend time with the Father to get his heart and to act it out and to apply it to our life. How are we, the ecclesia, going to act differently this year? We're going to have to be adamantly going after, on purpose, intentionally, the Father's heart, so that we can bring his will alive on this earth. The second R is this: respond. Respond. It means to act or behave in response to an influence. something in a favorable reaction. It means quit being a brat about it. That is in common language. Respond to God. Well, I can't believe God is expecting this of me. Oh, time to grow up. The ecclesia that he's building is the company of believers that are believing him to move in all of the ways that he wants to bring in people into his body so that they can be saved from eternity in hell. It's real. And so he's asking us that, will you respond? Will you engage? Will you behave yourself like God wants you to behave? Will you stop acting so independent? Will you stop acting so frustrated? Will you stop acting in anger? Will you stop complaining about what he asked you to do and be grateful that he ever even knew your name and called you out of darkness? And so we have to respond by being grateful people. That it is one of the greatest things that we can have to continue to connect to God, just like this morning. When we worship him, we are recognizing him. And we are responding to him the way he wants to be responded to, because he indeed is worthy of our life, of our praise, of the way we do things, of the way we say things, of the way that we actually live our lives out loud. So he responded. After being with the Father, Jesus' response was that he met needs of people. Jesus met the needs of people. If you want to respond properly to the Father, you're going to start looking for the people who have a need that you are willing to meet. We're coming into a time where you are no longer going to be able to huddle up inside your home like you learned learned behavior in 2020 that needs to be broken. You cannot huddle by yourself. It's good to get alone if you're alone with God. It is not good to be alone if you're only with the same people you're always with, never telling anybody else about Jesus, never being a light in the dark, just huddle in your home. No, in order for us to model what happens when we're with the Father, we're going to have to go out and respond to the needs of people by bringing heaven's multiplication on earth. Snapshot. Jesus, okay, several occasions, okay, one of them was he fed the 5,000, as I've already mentioned. He responded to his time with God because he met the people's needs at the time. And so, but God will provide us supernatural abilities to meet the needs of those around us so that they can be touched with his love. And he will be made known to them because of our response of love to them. I don't know, you know, what your life looks like or how you live out your day, But listen, if you see a person in need, it doesn't take a lot to respond to their need. It takes you being aware that there is a need. Sometimes they just need somebody to be nice to them. Do you know how mean people are right now? I mean, go shopping, okay? Go to the grocery store. I mean, everybody's just acting mean. And you know, when they start being mean to me, I go, you must be having a really hard day. I mean, is there something I could pray for you for? And that, you know, that sometimes they say yes and sometimes they say no, but I'm telling you, their attitude changes. Because I've acknowledged that they have a need. Not that I'm just demanding something of them, but I'm offering them something. How is the body of Christ going to look like Jesus on the earth if all we are is just being mean just like everybody else? Do you know it's easier to be mean than it is to be nice? I mean, okay, so, you know, some of you know that at points in my life, a long time ago, I had a spirit of anger. And I said it was, you know, I'm Irish. Because that's what my parents always told me. Well, we're Irish. Well, so what? Does being anything in your background, does that give you the ability to deny God and his ways? And so I would just lose my temper, and then I go, I'm Irish. Big deal. So one day, that's like also I could have said, I'm a drunk. Because that's what they do, although I never did that. But, you know, I'm just saying, that's what also they're known for. And so one day the Lord said, yeah, that's not being Irish. I go, what do you mean? I have an Irish temper. He goes, no, you don't. He goes, that's the spirit of anger. And he said, you need to get rid of the spirit of anger. He goes, because that excuse will not fly in my face anymore. Come on now. It's time for Ecclesia to grow up. Grow up. Be mature. Represent him properly. Represent him properly. Okay. So now you know what you have to do to overcome that. You have to sometimes leave the room, sometimes hang up the phone, sometimes swallow hard, sometimes just remain silent. I know it's really hard, but this is what you have to do, because you've got to learn how to succumb to the spirit of the living God instead of succumbing to the spirit of the world and its ways. Where does anger belong? It's actually listed in Galatians as one of the acts of the flesh. So if you want to continue to do that and make excuses for it, just know you're in rebellion. Do you still love your pastor? Yes, because I'm telling you the truth. Okay, I'm just going to answer for you just in case. So Jesus was completely always responding, and he was responding properly to complete his Father's will. And how else did he respond? By teaching them. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So this is what we know the covenant is. The covenant of God has set us free from responding from the outward current atmospheres of this crazy lost world, and because he wrote a new one in our heart, we walk according to a covenant that was written in blood, that set us free, that pumps through our body, that tells us we can live differently, and we can live knowing that we are free from sin in our lawless deeds. That means if you're used to lawless deeds, you don't have to do them anymore. If you're used to sinning, you can be free of sinning. Truth brings freedom, and we operate in a different kingdom. We can operate in a different kingdom. And so, of course, you know, they don't always know what we're talking about when we talk. They didn't know how to respond to Jesus right, and people will not know how to respond to us correctly, but that cannot take us away from the commandments that he has given us and showing us how to respond to the Father properly and operating in our lives. And he said in John 27, he said, do not labor for the food with which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And they said, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent you. Well, that sounds easy. Is it easy to keep your faith on? It's a fight every day. we get hit with all different areas of our life. We can get hit with broken relationships. We can get hit with infirmity. We can get hit with disappointment. We can even get hit with deception. The stuff that is going on in the atmosphere, it's just hard to keep your head above water. And you know, we have to learn to respond to God properly by choosing it. So, I am tired of the devil wreaking havoc upon people's bodies when by his stripes we were healed. So is the onus of not having divine health on him? I think not. It's on us not doing this. Believe the work of God. Believe in him who he sent. Believe that the stripes made a difference. Believe that he has enough blood to cover your sin and to deliver you of sickness. And we have to continually, I'm walking around my house going, oh no, you don't, Satan. Oh no, that's an imagination that is trying to exalt itself above God. And I'm pulling down that imagination and bringing it under subjection to the word of God. And so I am going for sozo. Sozo. Salvation, wholeness, complete wholeness, made well in every way. We have to know what the word has to say, and we have to believe him for it. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my sozo. Amen. Amen. So Jesus was responding, and he said to them, John 9:4, we must work the works of him who sent me and be busy with his business while it's daylight. Night is coming when no man can work. Jesus is saying, for the love of God, understand this. You only have so much time. We've all been appointed unto man to die. And after this, the judgment. What are you going to do with your time? How much time do we have? We don't know our time. He didn't say everybody gets to live to be 120. Who wants to? Not me. But, you know, he didn't say that. And so we don't know how long we're here. That's why we need to work the works of our Father every day. Because only in working his works and working with him and partnering with him and being intentional about it and responding to him properly are we going to show the world what is different about the kingdom of God than the kingdom of the world that they're living in. And so we're going to work the works of him who sent us and be busy about his business. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the world's light. Who's the light of the world now? We are. Well, how do you know if you don't shine? What if you walk around and you're just as dark as everybody else? What if you got nothing good to say? What if all you have is negativity? What if all you are is tired? What if you don't have anything to give anybody because you haven't been in the Word, because you haven't been in His presence, because you haven't lived in the realm of the Spirit, because you've let sin come in, because you've let doubt come in, because you've let deception come in, because you've let depression come in? Oh my goodness, come back and shine. We are His representation. Jesus also responded to his Father's will by supernatural demonstrations. Hallelujah. One of the things he did was walk on water. Remember when he walked on water? I know that Pharaoh and I keep trying. We keep sinking, but we keep trying. We go out on our pools. Not today. But Jesus responded to the Father by supernatural demonstrations. Why do you think he modeled that for us? Thank you. Because we can do it. We can have supernatural demonstrations. We just have to keep doing what we know to do and keep testing ourselves. It's not testing God. It's testing our faith, testing our ability to trust. We have to step out where it seems impossible, and it may not be your pool. It may just be impossible situations, with the belief that our Father's will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so he walked on the water. He healed the blind. He set the captives free. You know, he spat, when he healed the blind, he spit his saliva, how gross is this, mixed it with dirt and stuck it on the guy's eyes. Made mud. Now, do you know that is not normal? You remember that Jesus is a man. As a man, he wasn't thinking, let me just make some mud, spit it up, and stick it in this guy's eyes and everything will be okay. But his Father's will was that man was going to see that day. And he didn't do anything without hearing from his Father. And his Father said, let this be a supernatural demonstration. I want you to pick up some dirt. I want you to spit in that dirt. And I want you to stick it in that man's eyes. What? And you know what? He responded. He responded. And he goes, okay. And so he responded, because if that was the instruction of his Father, even though it was very weird to the natural, don't you think we're making a point here? We have to respond to the things God asks us to do, whether it makes any natural sense to our senses or not. Jesus is modeling this for us, the church, the ecclesia, the ones who are going to represent God on the earth. We are going to be the ones walking in supernatural power. How are we going to do it? I don't know. Maybe we have to spit on somebody. Who knows? But are we willing to? You know, we go, Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want. And he goes, spit in the dirt and shove it in their eyes. Never mind. We're not going to do that. We'll do everything but that. And so we got to be responsive to the directives of the Holy Ghost, which lives inside us now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And because he's representing the will of the Father and lives on the inside of us to let us know what it is. Amen. So Jesus was totally responding properly to complete the Father's will. And he wasn't doing weird things without remedy. He was following his Father's instruction. Okay, how about setting the captives free? This is my last point on respond. 38. How God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Do you have the Holy Ghost and power? If you don't, see me. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oppressed of who? Oh, he had to heal the ones that were oppressed of the devil. And you know how he did that? For God was with him. For God was with him. If you need to be so tight with the Father, so tight with Jesus, so tight with the Holy Spirit, you know God is with you. You know it. If you were convinced, oh, if we would just allow him to change our mind, and we were convinced that we could go around healing those that were oppressed and setting them free. This is Isaiah 61. This is our call, our mandate at Liberty Life Center. And yet, all of us, including myself, are not walking in the fullness of this. Why? Because we're not willing to hear what he's saying and step out and know it's not us anyway. It's him that does it. It's him. It's because I'm with him. I can't do anything of myself, Jesus said. I can only do the things that the Father tells me to do. You know why? Because he wanted us to know we can't do anything of ourselves. We can only do what the Father tells us to do. We can only do what the Father empowers us to do. But when he empowers us, nothing is impossible. Okay, hallelujah. The third R is this, risk. Risk. Risk means taking a chance on an investment, including to expose yourself to hazard or danger. So Jesus risked everything for the Father's will coming to earth. These are just some of the things. You can go through the Bible and see all of the risks he took, but I'm going to start with this. The thing that we don't like, rejection. Jesus risked rejection. Luke 17:25 said, first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. We don't like it if people don't like us. I feel rejected. But they didn't look at me right. They weren't nice to me. They, ecclesia, rise. These things mean nothing in the face of eternity. Somebody rejects you, love them back. What are they going to do? Does rejection hurt you? Well, it might hurt your feelings, but it ain't going to ruin your life with God, hopefully. But you need to overcome that. Jesus had to risk the rejection of obedience to his Father. So we're going to risk being rejected. This, when he stood for righteousness, this is what happens. Mark 6:3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. They're like, you stay in your position. It's like when you start operating in the things that are supernatural and people tell you, you can't do that. Or, oh, they just think they're all that in a bag of chips. And you start backing up because you want to be accepted. Instead of being accepted by the Father, you want people to be okay with you. Oh no, it's not time for that. It's time for the church to change and take risks. It's time for, even if we step out in faith and it appears that we failed, we will grow by it. Take a risk, people. If we're not risking anything, we're not going to win anything. Jesus risked getting killed on the regular. He did. They were always trying to kill him all along the way. This is one example, is Luke 4:29. They got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built in order to throw him down the cliff. Now, the continuation of that scenario is that he walked through them. What did he do? Disappear? I mean, they drove him to the cliff with the purpose of throwing him off of it, and suddenly Jesus just walks away. And he's like, not today. I'm not dying today, people. It's not my time. And so it didn't matter what they were doing. It mattered that he was connected to the Father's will. And he continued. It didn't matter if somebody was threatening him with death. No man would take him. He would lay his life down. Jesus took risks by who he called, like us. You know, he didn't call the easy, the educated people. He didn't call the ones that were easy to get along with. I mean, his disciples were a mess. They were all different backgrounds. Don't you love that, though? God loves variety. And so he went, let me put together 12 people that will just drive each other crazy. So that iron can sharpen iron. Let me just speak into their life and then leave them alone for a while and see what they do. And then let me come back in and show them what the Father's will is. Let me come alongside of them and train them and pour into them wisdom from the Father. Let me model for them the way God responds. My dad Look at what my dad does. He loves those that hate him. Is it, Jesus was like pouring into them on purpose. This church, the ecclesia, we're going to pour into people we don't want to pour into on purpose. Are people going to rub you the wrong way? Oh, you can count on it. Because the spirit of offense is a spirit of offense. And if you are walking in a spirit of offense, you are not going to be always completing the will of the Father because you have something hanging on you that is preventing it. And your choice, and it's still your choice, because we have all kinds of things that people do that are just stupid. There, I almost bought a mug, except for I don't want to agree with it, but I did laugh when I read it. It said, I really want to be nice to everyone, but people are just so stupid. I go, I'm not going, it does matter what coffee cup you drink out of. That's why mine say different things. Mine say, wake and slay. That's one of my favorites, you know? Coffee and Jesus, that's another one. One says, it's tough to be queen. I didn't buy that. My kids bought it for me. But I am of a heavenly kingdom. And I have to accept that I'm called to rule and reign on this earth. Amen? All right. So he risked everything for the Father's will. And so they were hard to work with. Those disciples and your disciples that God is going to bring into your life this year. And maybe already has you working with people that you're not particularly easy to get along with. What do you know about their life? Have you taken the time to find out what they're going through? What if you just think they have an attitude? What if they are dying on the inside and have no one to help them? You never know. And if you don't take the time to find out, you will never be their answer. But we make judgments. I don't like them because they act this way. Why do they act this way? Well, Jesus chose, I think he chose on purpose, ridiculous people from ridiculous backgrounds, and threw them together and said, look at what they're going to become. And you know what the ingredient was? More Father. More communion, more knowing who they were through him, not from their birth, not from their past, not from the abuse that they went through, not from their place in society. If you're watching the Chosen, which I highly recommend, except for that last one was a little wrong in their doctrine, just warning you. But you know, they're not trying to be line-by-line scripture. They're trying to show you relationship. And so if you can watch it with that in mind, they're just living out what they think the relationships were. And Matthew the tax collector, they're doing a pretty good job on. And Matthew the tax collector was hated by the other disciples because he was taking their money from them to give it to Rome. You think they had a chance to be offended at that? They had to get over it. And Jesus made sure that they did. They had to take risks. He had to take risks by choosing them, and they had to take a risk on accepting Matthew. Okay. Now, I'm ending. Aren't you happy? Risk. It's risky to step out in faith. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, you, ecclesia, church, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Are you? Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And whoever does not believe will be condemned. Go back to verse 15. They have to hear. They have to hear. They they have to have a choice. They have to be given a choice. Somebody has to have a voice. Somebody has to be bold. Somebody has to take the risk of being rejected and people not receiving what they offer. Every time you ask somebody if they want to know Jesus Christ, they are not going to say, yes, please lead me to him. He's wonderful. It says so right here. And so he didn't say stop preaching the good news. He said, preach, 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 preach. Tell the good news. Tell the good news. Display the good news. Act the good news. And some of them will believe and they'll be saved. And some of them won't and they might actually go to hell. But it won't be on you. And then he said, but I got you some added ingredients that will help. Verse 17, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. I think that, you know, the punctuation, you know, man put punctuation in there. Let me change the punctuation. In mine, it says, and these signs will accompany those who believe, semicolon. In my name, they will drive out demons. Semicolon. I want to change this. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. No semicolon. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. Those who, these signs shall accompany those who believe in my name. In my name. In my name, in the name of Jesus, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak in new tongues. In my name, they will pick up snakes in their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well in my name. Hallelujah. Because there is no other name in heaven or earth higher than the name of Jesus. And he has come to live inside of us. And when that is a reality to us, there is nothing impossible. Because Jesus is in charge. Risky. It's risky. Well, what if I believe with all of my heart and nothing changes? Well, what if you do? What if that happens? But what if the next time it works? Risky. Well, explain that to me. I can't. You figure it out. Let me know. All I know is this. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment, and it's risky to step out in faith. It's risky because you may not always get the answers that you think you're going to have. It's risky because it may make you doubt the word. And when Satan comes and he makes you doubt the word because it didn't happen the way you thought it, you say, I am. That is a vain imagination. And I am pulling that vain imagination down and I'm putting it under my feet. Amen. Oh. Do you know that when we hear from God, he doesn't always give us all the complete answers that we want? Do you know that God does not have to explain everything to you? Well, you know, he's God. And we are not. And whether or not, whatever is going on around us, I don't understand. I don't understand a lot of things that have happened in my life. But I'm still risking loving him. I'm still risking putting my faith in him. I'm still risking believing that he's going to use little old me to do big and mighty things. I'm risking my life for the gospel. I'm risking it knowing it could cost me everything. Well, do you want to be a martyr? No, I don't. I don't want them to chop off my head or torture me in any way. I don't want to. But if it was the choice between denying Jesus or not, I am not turning back. I have made my decision. Christians need to be risk takers. It's too late. Okay, it's risky responding to him by acting and responding to his influence in our life, because he might ask us to do weird things. And it may be unacceptable to society. It may be unacceptable to the people you're ministering with. I don't know what he's going to ask you to do. I've done many things that were uncomfortable for me. Let's just say I couldn't have done them without the power of God. But it brought about the plan of God in somebody else's life, and it was worth every risk. Jesus risked everything for the Father's will. And loving God more than anything or anyone else, and radical fierceness with every fiber of your being, and loving yourself with others equally, is not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. Do you know that nothing remains common when you're responding to heaven's directions? So, let me go back for 1 second and say this. Jesus spit, took mud, stuck it on that guy's eyes. Do you know that he did not immediately see? Because he had to respond to the directives of heaven. And he said, you go wash in the pool of Siloam. Sometimes there's a walking out. Sometimes Jesus has done his part, and then you have to do yours. Sometimes his directives cause you to have to take steps that make absolutely no sense. If he was Jesus, the Son of God, that he claimed that he was, how come his spit in the dirt didn't work? Do you know that that blind man could have chosen to say, that's ridiculous? He could have not believed God, because he could have said, I thought you were supposed to be my answer. But God is, everything in the Bible is there for a purpose. And it's to show us that he does his part, and then you have to do yours. And if he asks you to do something risky or something unusual, you just have to have the proper things to respond with. And that means you've got to learn how to have some grit. We got to be some gritty people now. We are not going to be these mamby-pamby Christians that get thrown away by every wind of doctrine. Ooh, I could go there for an hour. Don't believe lies and quit listening to a bunch of people who don't know what they're talking about. Amen. You need to have a voice that you listen to. So, the three R's, do we know what they are? What's the first one? Thank you, Jesus, somebody believes it. Raging, what does it mean? Draw near to your Father's will at all times. Go after him in prayer. Go after him on the mountain. Go after him in solitude. Go after him, no matter what the cost is. What's the second R? Respond. That means you have to engage. You have to behave in response to his influence. Right? What's number three? Oh, now you got they're helping you out back there. Risk. Take risks. Take a chance on God's investment in you. He invested everything in you. Now what are you gonna risk in obeying him? So now it's the time for us to move together, and we're going to move, and we're going to move closer to him, and we're going to obey him, and we're going to see great and mighty things, because he is watching over his word to perform it. And so that which he has invested in you, he is asking on a return on his investment. And when you're obedient to him, it's going to bring multiplication. Amen? Can you agree with it? Say, I agree with it. Say, I'm going to apply it. What three things are you going to apply? Woo! Hallelujah! Okay, I'm going to be watching you. I'm going to be watching you. All right, so we give you all the glory, Lord. We thank you for starting with giving you all the glory, and we finish by giving you all the glory. We thank you, Father, that you gave your Son. We thank you, Jesus, that you came and you risked everything for us. You responded to the Father properly. We thank you so much for that. We thank you, God, for showing us how to reach the Father's heart and to do his will. Jesus, you did it all for us. And now we are going to join you by reaching, responding, and risking. And we give you a promise today of that. And we are expecting your godly results. And we thank you for it. Amen. All right. I love you. But who do we love the most? And why? Because who loves you the most? And who loves the whole wide world the most? We're going to be the ecclesia he's looking for. Amen? Amen. Okay, so if you can stay and help Susan, stay and help Susan. Other than that, go have some food with some.
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org, where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/libertylifecenter. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.